We pray this message blesses and encourages you.
When we look at the word stand in the Hebrew and the Greek, there's many different words for stand, stand fast, stand up in the Hebrew and the Greek, but a lot of them have a commonality in the sense that they all also can mean to rise up, because obviously you have to rise up to stand. And the connection between the resurrection and our standing are just too close to call. We stand today because Jesus rose up, and Jesus is standing, and Jesus is standing in victory. He did not stay laid out horizontal in an empty tomb, or at that time when he was in it, a full tomb. He stood up, he arose, he defeated death. He is risen from the dead. He is risen from a dead life. He is risen from a dead end. He is risen from a dead position. And you can too in Christ Jesus. It is because we are in him, and only because we are in him, that we stand. So today is a joyous day. Today is a celebratory day. Today is the day that we give thanks to God, that praise the Lord. He is alive and he is risen. And he is the victorious one. And we bless the Lord for that. We're going to turn in our Bibles. And you think, Sean, you know, I was getting into the joyous day stuff until you said we're going to read from Revelation. What are you doing to me? But there's some fantastic news in the book of Revelation. And we miss it at our peril. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first 8 verses on this Easter Sunday 2024. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We hear you, Lord. John has introduced himself, I, John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, and has made us to be priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all people on earth, all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty God. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, on this Easter Sunday, we rejoice and we stand in the light of what we heard about on Good Friday. Praise God for our Good Friday service. Didn't our youth do a phenomenal job? And bless Judith and everyone who contributed to it. It was just powerful. But the truth of Good Friday, the truth of Jesus Christ dying on the cross on our behalf, in light of the fact that Jesus took our place, that he laid down and allowed himself to be fixed to a cross, because of that truth, we now stand. In light of the finished work of the cross and Jesus Christ declaring, it is finished, from that place of ultimate pain and ultimate forsakenness, he cried out, it is finished. And because of that finished work, we stand today. In light then, 3 days later, in light of the resurrection, in light of the empty tomb, in light of the fact that we can go nowhere on planet Earth to visit the grave of Jesus because he is alive, because of this truth, we stand. We stand. You see, we stand because he fell under the weight of our sin, our shame, our cross. We stand because he stooped down low to exalt us. Or as it says in Psalm 18, you stooped down to make me great. What a savior! What a savior! What deity stoops down? In any other religion, in any other philosophy, in any other understanding, who stoops down to make humanity great, to improve our lot, to bring us a life in all of its fullness. He laid down. He allowed himself to fall once, twice, how many times under the weight of that cross so that we can stand whole and dearly loved. And because of all that has been revealed about him and all that is true of him, and because of all that he accomplished and all that he has won, we stand in the victory that he has brought us. We stand in faith because he truly is the victorious one. I want to look at just two very, very simple points today, and then we're going to get back into worship, and then Clean is going to close us out in our service today. But there's two things I want to bring to you, that we stand because of who Jesus is, and we stand because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen? And so kicking it off with who Jesus is. I don't know if you caught all the names and descriptions of Christ and titles in just the first 8 verses of the book of Revelation. It's absolutely powerful. But even before we get to these and we look at these and get excited by these, Revelation has an incredible, and excuse the pun, but Revelation has an incredible revelation, and the revelation is Jesus. Jesus is the revelation. Amen? You see, whenever you talk about the book of Revelation and you ask people about the book of Revelation, Christian or non-Christian, they will invariably say to you, oh, the book of Revelation, that's that weird book about end times. That's that spooky book I never read. Amen? Hello? That's that book, because of all the symbolism and imagery and all that's going on, and John trying to decipher what he can see in the future. And you can imagine a bloke who's used to kind of walking around the desert and the things that he's seeing in modern times. You try to describe those things when there's not even names to them. There's not even titles. There's no understanding to what he's seeing. And he's writing it down and he's getting everything from the Lord. But when we talk to people, and that is their only understanding of the book of Revelation, they are missing the whole point of Revelation. Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. The whole book is pointing to Jesus. It's about Jesus. And we had it there in the opening remarks. It said there in the opening, the revelation from Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, it said, it is the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So revelation is from Christ and it's about Christ. If you read Revelation and you don't see Jesus and all you see are weird things, that's your problem. God bless you. We've got to see Jesus. We've got to see him from the beginning of Revelation to the marriage feast of the Lamb. It's about Jesus and about being caught up and overwhelmed by him and understanding that world affairs and the craziness of the world will someday have its finality because the Lord Jesus Christ will have his way. And the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, it's more alive to us now than ever before in human history. But he's coming back, you know, amen? He's coming back. And this factual life, this historical life, this understanding of the death and resurrection of Jesus, praise God for all of that truth. But the other truth is that he's coming back and we need to be ready. The book of Revelation is about Jesus. The focus is Jesus. The point is Jesus. The prophecy of Jesus. The beginning is Jesus. The end is Jesus. So who is he? Who is he? And why is it important about who he is that causes us to stand? Well, can I just say before I get to the first title, the first name, the first description of Jesus in these 8 verses of the book of Revelation, can I just say that the death and resurrection confirm every one of these titles? If he hadn't risen from the dead, I wouldn't be wasting your time right now. I wouldn't be here right now, and neither would you. The first title that we meet in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8 is that he is the Christ. 3 times in 8 verses, he is called Jesus Christ. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ, to point people to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one that humanity needed and cried out for, and the Messiah that all of Israel was waiting on. He has defeated sin and darkness on the cross, and he has risen to show himself victorious over death. He is the proven Messiah, the undisputed King of Kings and Champion of Champions. In our 8 verses, 3 times it declares him the Christ. Then the next title that we have is found twice, 2 times in these first 8 verses, and it is the title that Jesus is the one who is, who was, and is to come. We're going to try that again. The chocolate hasn't kicked in yet. He is the one who is, who was, and he is to come. The one who is to come. And we praise God for that. We see this reference to Jesus is so important. He is alive. He is. He is. He is. And praise God for that. That presence, the very presence, help in time of trouble. We have this week had the sweet sorrow of saying goodbye to Pastor Des's mom. And Pastor Des's mom was a phenomenal member of this congregation and then went with the team to plant the church in St. Mark's South. And one of the things that you always grasp and understand when you have the privilege as a pastor to be part of someone's journey in those times is the incredible sense of God's presence in the now. How important the now is for people who are so ill and so sick. They genuinely don't know if they have tomorrow. They genuinely don't know if they have the next hour, but they know that he is now and he is present and he is with them. And this is our God who comes with his comfort when we're all distracted by things from the past, or we're distracted and getting stuck in things about the future and worrying about this, that, and the other. Why would you be anxious about anything? Jesus said. Why would you worry about anything? We don't even have tomorrow. We don't even have the next hour. But people who are very, very ill, they have such an acute awareness of the presence of God in the now. And let me tell you that the one who is the ever-present one, the very present one, he presents himself so strongly. And to witness it, it just blesses your soul. And you know, these are people that you know, people that you love. Of course, you'd love it to be lifted off them, of course. But all of us will come to a time, and that time will be our now, where the Lord says, that's it, your time is up. But I want you to know that the one who has been present from the first day you took a breath will be present with you when you take your last, and he will be present with you when you open your eyes in the twinkling of an eye, because he is the ever-present one. This is our God. He's the God who was. He's the God of history. Amen. He is an historical figure. Everyone agrees that he did exist. Everyone agrees that he did walk the earth. And whether you like him, follow him, love him, worship him, whatever place you have put Jesus, most everybody will talk about his phenomenal words and his great philosophy of life. But we understand it to be the truth of life, and that he is truth, and that it was so much more than philosophy. Wouldn't it be a tragedy for us today if he was just someone who was? Wouldn't it be pointless even meeting today if he was just an historic figure only? A note in a history book, a dead man who said some nice things. But even though he was, the death and resurrection means that he is. And it points then in the book of Revelation also to the one who is to come. Are you standing in expectation these days? Are you standing in faith of his return? Are you standing in excitement of his return? Are you standing in expectation and preparation? Verse 7 reinforces that he's coming back, and we just read it there. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. That's a powerful description. That even includes us, the believers. You know, when we see him coming on the clouds and we see his magnificence, we'll even mourn and say, Lord, why didn't I live for you more? Why didn't I trust you more? Why didn't I just lay down more of me for you? Why did I hold back so much? Lord, I'm just so sorry. Oh, we'll have, be as followers. We're covered in the blood of the Lamb. We'll have repented. We'll have, hallelujah, have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, absolutely. But we'll still mourn. We'll still mourn. Because so many times and months and days throughout the year, we play church and play Christians and play with God and do our own thing. And so there's parts of us that will mourn when we see his magnificence. But for those that pierced him and for those that he longed to have by his side, what a dreadful and awful day it will be. So shall it be. Amen and amen. Another title that we read in this Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 8 is that he is the faithful witness. We stand because of Jesus' utter reliability. Amen. You can trust him. He's been integrous. He has shown by his perfect life and his death that he is the perfect lamb. And we know that he's the perfect lamb because he was accepted by the Father as the perfect lamb, who then rose him to sit at the right hand of the Father. And so he was the acceptable lamb of God. And that showed that he lived a perfect life because he was the lamb without blemish. And we can stand on the faithful witness. We can stand on this witness who was faithful. We can be faithful and we can stand faithfully because our Christ is a faithful witness. And his faithfulness to the Father and his faithfulness and service to the people were just a full renown. We read them throughout the scriptures and we go, wow, Lord, the way you served your Father, the way you served the people, even unto death, Lord Jesus, you are the faithful witness. What's really intriguing about the word that's used for witness here is that it can also be written down as the faithful martyr. He's the faithful martyr, the one who gave up his life. Another description title is that he is the firstborn from among the dead. And that's what we're all about here today. It's Resurrection Sunday. And he, praise the Lord, is the firstborn from the dead, the resurrected one. Or as Jesus referred to himself, I am the resurrection and the life. The firstborn from the dead means so much more than just Jesus being the first person resurrected. It speaks of his preeminence among all who will be resurrected, praise God, on the last day. Jesus is the first. He's number one. He is the king. He is our all in all. Jesus is the first hand, firstborn of us all. In Romans 8, verse 28 to 29, Paul catches a glimpse of this and he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And because he's the firstborn, we got to be born again. And because he's the firstborn of those resurrected, we will get to be resurrected someday. And we're going to get, praise the Lord, and this is certainly good news for me, a glorious body. Amen. I'm going to get a glorious body someday. And it's going to be a body without pain and without having to worry about going to the gym. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in the Lord's name? That was the weakest clap ever. Oh, Lord. It's, honestly, these are all there. You're kind of hearing this thing going on up here, but you're thinking about the egg hidden in the bottom of the cupboard, aren't you? I can see us. He is, according to Revelation 1, verse 1 to 8, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And that's really great news these days. Thank God that we have a reliable witness, a reliable ruler, a king of love who is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Imagine our fate was in the hands of some of these human beings that are ruling at this time on planet earth. Have we been in such a vitriolic time? We're being warned by the Prime Minister of Poland that Europe better get ready for war, that we're kidding ourselves if we don't understand what is going on in Ukraine. There's things going on we see in Israel, we see Gaza, we see, you know, Hezbollah in Lebanon, we see all of the Middle East just on tenterhooks. We see that some of the seas that people used to enjoy cruising on are now not safe because terrorists can hop on your ship. We see so much famine. We see earthquakes. We see bridges collapsing. We see just incredible things that are going on in our day and age. And I'm not an alarmist, and I'm not someone who looks at YouTube to find all the conspiracy theories. You know that about me. But we have to wake up to the fact that if it's today or another 100 years, the Lord is coming soon. And we need to be ready and we need to be prepared. And not to be caught out, not to be caught out, to have oil in our lamps. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the ruler of us all. There's a scripture that says, every knee will bow in heaven on earth. I used to love what a preacher used to say back in the day. Bow now or bow later, but you will bow. Yeah. And it's always better to bow now. You see, before the book of Revelation is finished, as you read through it chapter by chapter, Jesus will take dominion over every earthly authority and king. At the present time, Jesus rules in a kingdom that is not yet fully of this world. But he's coming soon. And we are his kingdom. And we are his kingdom expressors here on earth. And we're the ones on planet earth who daily pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you praying that life? Are you living that life? Being a kingdom advancer because you know that you serve the ruler of the kings of the earth. We're nearly there with the titles. The next one is the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's here referring to the first letter of the ancient Greek alphabet and the last letter of the ancient Greek alphabet. Basically, Jesus saying, I'm the A to Z. I'm the A to Z of life. I'm the A to Z of salvation. I'm the A to Z of forgiveness. I'm the A to Z of integrity. I'm the A to Z of faithfulness. He is A, he is Z, and he is everything in between. And if you want to know how to get by in life, I would encourage you to meet Mr. A to Z, Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. He's got it all, he is it all, and he is the beginning and the end of it all and of you and me. And it's great to get acquainted to the Alpha and the Omega. The last title we see is found in verse 8, where Jesus describes himself as the Almighty. The word Almighty translates the ancient Greek word Pantocrator, which literally means the one who has his hand on everything. It speaks of the great sovereign control of our Savior, of our Jesus, past, present, and future. The great word Almighty is used 10 times in the New Testament, and 9 of the 10 times is in the book of Revelation. Is he your Almighty Savior? Is he your Almighty God? Is he the ruler of your life? Whatever about the kings of the earth? Is he your Alpha and your Omega? Is he the first in your heart and the firstborn from among the dead? Is he the reliable witness and your faithful friend? Is he the one who was and is to come? And is he your Christ on this Easter Sunday? What has he done? We could just finish there on who he is. Who he is just magnificent. That's why we stand, because of who he is. He is a Savior. He is a ruler. He is Almighty. We stand because of who he is. But more than that, more than just standing on someone's reputation, Jesus points to what he has done. What he has done for us. And we are completely without excuse. It's incredible that we have no excuse. His titles describe him. His actions point to everything that is great about him. Paul in Romans 5 verse 1 to 2, in the New Living Translation, he puts it powerfully. Therefore, since we've been made right in Christ, in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Amen. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, We stand in a place of undeserved privilege, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing of God's glory. We stand because of who he is, but we stand because of what he has done and what he has done on our behalf. Here's the first thing that he has done. He has revealed himself to us. He has revealed himself to us. Never take for granted the incarnation. Never take for granted a God who would stoop down low and take on humanity, that he had the love to reveal himself to us. He's not some hidden deity. He's not some mystic Meg floating out there in the universe, hoping you'll catch on. He has revealed himself to us. He has come and he has been flesh that we could touch. He has shown himself, and there were many, many witnesses. And praise the Lord for the gospel that points to all of this. He is the ultimate divine revelation. When you see him, you see the Father. When you see his heart, you see the heart of the Father. He is the exact representation of God's being. But he hasn't just revealed himself. He has revealed and shown to us his servants. Verse 1, what must soon take place. So he reveals himself and he reveals what will soon take place. That's what the book of Revelation is about. And so we have a revealer and he reveals. And he loves to reveal that which will be for our good and will help us to stand. So he reveals himself and he reveals, verse 1, Revelation chapter 1, what will soon take place. He reveals this to his servants. He has revealed himself to us. The second thing that he has done for us, he has blessed us. He has blessed us. And the connection here that the Lord Jesus is making in this introduction is that blessed are those who hear the words of life, receive the words of life, and put the words of life into action. And there's reference to those who read the prophecy of the book of Revelation. They will be blessed. They will be more alive by the blessing that are in the life words, because Jesus is the word. And we are blessed when we read the word of God. We are blessed when we take in time to consume the word, because it brings life to our weariness and to our dry bones. With words of life and words of revelation, he has blessed us. And so never forsake the reading of God's word. Never forsake the consuming. Whatever we're going to do today, and there's going to be lots of consuming, don't forget to consume the word of the Lord. Amen. That you might be alive and that you might be blessed. You see, what has he done for us? He has revealed himself to us. He has blessed us. The third thing is that he has loved us. And I love that in some translations, it says he loved us, past tense. And because of the nature of the words from those ancient times, it can also be translated that he loves us, present tense. I'm going to stick with the he has loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Jesus loved us. That points us back to the cross. Every believer should be secure in God's love, not based on their present circumstances, but based on the ultimate demonstration of love on the cross. Paul put it like this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The work of Jesus on the cross for us is God's ultimate proof that he loves you and that he loves me. No wonder many believers are not secure in knowing the love of Jesus towards them, because they look to their present circumstances to measure his love instead of focusing on the cross to measure the love of Jesus. We stand because we have an incredible King who loves to reveal himself to us. We stand because we are a blessed people. We stand because we are a loved people. The next thing that he has done, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, is we stand because he has freed us, and we are a freed people. And again, according to the scripture that you're reading, and you'll all have your own different translations, but in some translations, it says, he freed us from our sins by his blood. And another translation that says, he washed us from our sins by his blood. We stand because we are free, and we stand because we are clean. One of the things that causes Christians to doubt their ability to stand is the shame that the enemy loves to put in them and on them in reference to their sin. And so Jesus is making it clear in the scripture that he has cleansed you, and he has cleansed you good and proper, and you are washed. And to get it even to the point where Jesus is even trying to get people to marvel at him, it's nearly like this concept of that he's pointing to his blood. And it's nearly like this sense of someone just, you're at the sink or you're in the bath. And again, forget the image if this kind of just disturbs you a bit. It might sound all kind of gothic and horror movie, but it's that we're literally, he's given us his blood that we can be cleansed, body and soul from all of our sin and shame. And it's not the water. It's pouring his blood. He has poured his blood, the sacrificial blood, so that we would be cleansed inside and out forever and ever, and that we can walk without shame, and we don't ever have the sense that we're dirty and we don't belong in church. And sure, no one would want us. And sure, if you knew my real life and my past, he does know. And he's the one who wrote these words. He wants to free us by the blood of himself. He wants to clean us from his own blood. You see, if we understand our own deep sinfulness, this seems almost too good to be true. We can stand clean before God, clean from the deepest stains. No wonder the same Apostle John also wrote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do I stand here today? Why do I stand behind this pulpit? I stand because of Jesus Christ. He made me a free man. He freed me. I stand because Jesus Christ gives me clean hands. Jesus Christ gives me clean heart. Jesus Christ gives me a clean slate. Glory to God. That's why I stand. I don't stand behind a pulpit because I am any better than anybody. I don't stand behind a pulpit because I think I am the next best thing. I stand behind a pulpit in gratitude of the one who freed me and who cleansed me by his precious blood. And it's the exact same for you as well, in Jesus' name. The last thing that Jesus Christ has done for us, and another reason that we stand, is that he has made us. I don't know if you know, but you're a made man, you're a made woman. Amen? When we were kids, I don't know if you still say it these days, this is how out of touch I am. But whenever you'd see someone with a brilliant car, or you'd see someone with kind of incredible clothes, a bit like this pastor's jacket, actually. Whenever you'd see people, you know, you turn to your friend and go, oh, your man is made. He is made. And spiritually, I think the Lord would love us to be speaking over each other. You are so made. You are made. You are minted. You have the treasure of treasures. You have access to the Lord of Lords. You have relationship and knowledge and intimacy with the ruler of the kings of the earth. You're made. You are made. You see, in Christ, we are made. You're a made man and you're a made woman. Interestingly, in mafia circles, if you get to a place of being a made man in mafia circles, that's an honor that's bestowed upon you, whereby no one can ever attempt to take your life. You're standing on solid ground. Can you understand how spiritually the Lord wants us to know how we are so made? We're made for all of eternity. The enemy cannot touch us. He cannot go after our soul. He cannot go after our spirit. We are saved by God's grace, and we are so, so blessed. We are made. And then it describes what he has done, what he has made us. And it said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, it said, he has made us a kingdom. Now, it doesn't say he has made us a kingdom of priests. It says he has made us a kingdom and he has made us priests to serve the living God. So God has made you and me a kingdom. We see this in, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation. God has made us into something bigger than ourselves. He has made us part of a living, vibrant, resurrected community of fellow believers, glory to God. We are now not living for ourselves because we're part of a kingdom. We are kingdom. You can stand up today and say, in Christ, I am kingdom. No one will think you've got a big head. They'll just think it's a bit weird. But you can stand and say, I am kingdom. I am the kingdom of God. I am an expression of the kingdom of God. I am an advancer of the kingdom of God. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am receiving the blessings of the kingdom of God. You keep going on and on and on. He has made you kingdom. Glory to God. And that gives us access to the treasures of the kingdom, because I am kingdom and I'm part of his kingdom, because he is the kingdom that we in Christ belong to. So he has made us kingdom. He has also made us, glory to God, to be a people who are priests. And we get to serve him. We get to serve him. We're gonna be priests later on in our homes, and we're gonna be serving loved ones. Beautiful roast lamb. Glory to God. I see that word. Best response ever in St. Mark's. We're going to be serving people at our office desks on Tuesday after the bank holiday. We're going to be serving people in factories and in supermarkets. We're going to be serving people, hallelujah, as priests in hospitals and in schools and in colleges. We're going to be serving people on the streets of Dublin and beyond, amen. Am I speaking to the priests of the Lord Jesus Christ here? We're going to be serving him. And because he's made us priests. Hallelujah. And he's not there, now tell me, which college did you go to? Sorry, what's your, what diploma? Sorry, I didn't quite. No, he has made you a priest. You're a priest of the living God, the resurrected King, and you're a living priest. And we worship him. So we stand today because of what Jesus has done. He has revealed himself to us. And because he has, we stand. He has blessed us, and because he has blessed us in Christ, we stand. He has loved us, and because we are loved and we're not insecure orphans, we stand. And because he has freed us, we stand in freedom. And because he has cleansed us and washed us by his precious blood, we stand clean and worthy to stand in the presence of the Holy of Holies of our God. And he has made us. We are made men and women. And he has made us a kingdom, and he has made us priests to serve the living God, to the glory of God, our King. Worship team, can you come back? Can we all stand in this place? Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for Easter Sunday. We want to thank you for your light and your life. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the joy that is ours in you. We want to thank you, Lord God, that truly we understand that we only stand because, Lord God, you stooped low, because you lay down to be nailed to a cross, because you went down to the depths. That's why we stand. But we also stand, Lord God, because you came up and you rose up and you stood up to darkness and to death and to Satan and to sin. And you rose up and you were resurrected on the third day. And because of the great resurrection, we stand. And so, God, in Jesus' name, to everyone that's flailing about, Lord God, failing at life, just finding life overwhelming and circumstances too difficult, may they have a resurrection Sunday today, Lord Jesus. May they find themselves standing, because they've encountered the risen one, the one that caused us to stand and the one that caused us to rise up. Bless every single person in this place, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like any more information, please visit stmarkcity.ie. Have a very blessed week.